Okay, lovely to see you all. Mothering Sunday, it's great. Really, really enjoyed the service so far, isn't it? Lovely to worship God. Just a couple of bits within the service, especially I love that little violin solo in the middle of that last song. That just spoke to me of our vulnerability as we call out to God and ask Him to be our way maker and our, and look after us and look out for us. It almost spoke to me that little section of the violin solo, and just that we are vulnerable people who need a loving Father to look after us, and great fun to have a game as well. There was a survey that was recently done about why people don't go to church, and basically the number one reason was it's boring and it's not fun. Well, let's try and challenge that. Thank you, Joe, for challenging that this morning with an excellent game. So I've entitled my talk this morning, The Challenges of Being a Child and the Challenges of Being a Parent. Okay, the challenges of being a child and the challenges... Now, I have to confess that I was quite a naughty boy when I was growing up. I was very naughty. In fact, I was thinking of sharing with you some of the ways in which I was naughty as a boy. But then I thought, no, it may not be a good idea to do this because it might lead to sort of copycat incidences, in terms of things like me running away from home or being involved in sweet shop theft or anything like that. Terrible things, really terrible things. So I won't go into detail. So I'm not really an expert in terms of talking about being a good son. In fact, if you were to go and interview my mother this afternoon and ask her what was David like when he was growing up as a lad, she would probably just roll her eyes and she might be more polite than that. She might say that he was a bit of a challenge or a bit of a struggle. So what I want to do is I want to talk about the challenges of being a child and the challenges of being a parent. We live in a complicated world, don't we, where the challenges grow and grow for both children and parents. Now, if you're not a child or a parent here, just listen to this talk in terms of the challenges of relationships and the challenges of getting along together, because this applies to everyone. Now, what we're going to do is, in order to look at this theme, poor Elliot, who's been absolutely overloaded with clips, this morning. He's had to show numerous clips, so thank you so much, Eddie. Let's give him a round of applause for all his hard work. Thank you so much. Sarah too. So what we're going to look at is a clip from Pixar's Finding Nemo, okay? Do we remember that film? If we don't remember it, I'm going to give you a little summary, which I found online. Okay, this fishy tale begins with a sad story. Two clownfish, Marlin and Coral, both sea names, have found a beautiful sea anemone home in the Great Barrier Reef, which is off Australia, to wait for the birth of their 400 little fish eggs. It's quite a few children, isn't it, 400? Can you imagine? Anyway, these are two proud parents to be. And then everything turns really quite sad. Coral and all but one egg are killed in a barracuda attack. So that's Coral, the wife, and all the eggs, that's 399 eggs, but one, are killed in a barracuda attack. It's a bit like Bambi. Leaving Marlin to care for the last remaining baby fish, whose egg was damaged by the nasty barracuda. And so, all on his own, Marlin decides to call his son Nemo because Coral really liked that name. So in this clip, we flash forward to Nemo's first day at school. Yeah, fish swim in schools and also go to school in this movie. Marlin is very protective of his son Nemo, who's only got, he's got one fin who's slightly shorter than the other. And so what I want us to do is I want us to have a look at the clip, and there will be a bit of interaction after this, okay? This isn't a talk. This is more of an interactive experience, yeah? It's an interactive experience. Have you ever been on... No, I won't go down there. This is an interactive experience. So what I want us to do is just have a little think about what do we think about Dad, okay, in this clip, Marlin, and what do we think about Nemo in this clip? And then we'll be taking the mic around. Ruthie, if you could get the mic ready, or Matt, and we'll be going around just for short answers in terms of any comments about the two main characters, that's Nemo and Marlin. Okay, take it away. Didn't realise how dramatic it was. And scary. What a scary movie. We're going to have to sort of write to Disney and tell them to recertificate it or something. My goodness, that was scary. So, any thoughts on Dad and on Nemo? Put your hand up. So Matt's going to rove, or Ruthie's going to rove, whoever. They're both going to rove, actually. One of you rove down one side, the other of you rove down the other side. Any thoughts on Dad, good and bad? Okay, so we want positive remarks or negative remarks about both. Yeah, who's first up?
Mary.
Yep, good, Mary.
Dad's a bit overprotective.
Dad is a bit overprotective. Okay, interesting. Yeah, very good. Let's carry on.
Just because Nemo's got a little fin, Dad sees him as disabled, but Nemo doesn't.
Yes, so they've got different perceptions. So Nemo does not see himself as having a disability. Very good.
And Nemo will not be told what to do. He thinks he knows better.
Yes. Nemo will not be told what to do. A bit like me when I was growing up. Yeah, let's carry on.
Explaining the danger that Nemo didn't see.
Yes. So Dad did know stuff, didn't he? Do you mean it's interesting? Dad did know that that open water was dangerous. He did know, even though he was also a bit overprotective. Okay, yeah, we have a comment at the back there.
I think Dad's approach contributed to Nemo actually going to the boat.
Sorry, say that again.
I think the dad's approach contributed to Nemo actually going to touch the boat because he felt he had to prove a point.
Yes, okay, well that's a very interesting observation. So the question we ask ourselves is, did Dad's overprotectiveness contribute to Nemo's rebellion? Now, I'm not going to ask for any answers to that. I'm just going to leave that just floating, floating out there. Okay, let's carry on. Any other thoughts about Nemo and his dad? No? That's a pretty good collection of thoughts, yeah? So, the Bible says, which is interesting, which is sort of linked in Ephesians, it says, kids, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, in the Lord, I think means, okay, I'm not an expert on this, but I think in the Lord means as long as it's in keeping with Christian values and principles. Does that make sense? So let me give you an example. If your mum sends you into school and asks you to have a school lunch because she's too sick to have a packed lunch, to prepare a packed lunch, when in fact she just got up late, does that make sense? And she's asking you to tell a little white lie. I'm sure that never happens. But I thought of that as a little example, yeah? If that happens, so mum gets up a bit late and says, go into school and ask for a school lunch and tell them I'm sick. Yeah, when in fact you just got up late. That's the sort of thing that happened in our house. No, it never happened in our house, sorry. We never. Getting up late happened. Telling the kids to lie didn't happen. Let's just be really clear about that, yeah? You are entitled to say, no, mummy, I shouldn't do that, because the Bible says it's wrong, and Jesus says it's wrong. So it does say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, as long as they're doing what is right. Yeah? And it goes on to say, honour, which sort of means respect, hold them in high regard, honour your mother and father, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Does anyone remember that promise? I've completely forgotten it. So the idea is, if you look after your folks, and if you protect them and you care for them, you're going to live longer, by and large. Now, I can't guarantee this, okay? You can't, you know, look after your parents, die at a young age, and then come to me and say, Dave, you promised me. Yeah, so this is a general principle. Yeah, that if we look after our folks, if we look after our parents, yeah, then we'll live longer. So I'm going straight around this afternoon to see my mum with a big bunch of flowers in order to live longer. Yeah? Sometimes we need good motivation. Yeah? But actually, it's important to look after our parents. Jesus said that, didn't he? He said, look after your parents. He said, you mean even the unbelievers do that? Yeah, and you know, and don't slacken off in terms of caring for your folks, especially when you're older and they are older. I've been really challenged on this, actually, in terms of spending more time with my parents, because I felt God say, come on, look after them, spend time with them. So, here's an interesting bit. Fathers. Interesting that fathers get the focus for this. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Exasperate means don't wind your kids up. Yeah? Don't annoy them unduly. Yeah? Don't have ridiculous rules and regulations for them. Don't tease them mercilessly. Yeah? Don't be all up in the air about, you know, one day you're feeling good, so you buy them lots of things, and the next day you're feeling rubbish, so you shout at them. Yeah? Don't be sort of up and down in terms of your parenting. Don't wind them up, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Because actually, the bottom line is they do know a little bit more than you do. Yeah, so we noticed in the clip, didn't we, that that Dad, although he was very overprotective, he did know the dangers, and actually the dangers happened, didn't they? Yeah, so by and large, parents know what's going on out in the world, and they do know the dangers, which is why their responsibility to look after you and bring you up. Okay. Let's look at another scripture, shall we? Which I think is a brilliant scripture. Now, bear in mind that this is one where Jesus is in his 30s, so he's not a kid, so he doesn't have to obey his parents, but he still has to respect his parents. And this story takes place in Cana. Jesus is with his mum. They've been invited to a wedding. He's just begun his sort of teaching. So he's got all his disciples with him. They've been invited along as well. And it takes place in John chapter 2. And we're just going to have a quick look at it before we call it a day. So, on the third day, I think that's the third day of the week. Could be the third day of Jesus doing his teaching. But on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana. Yeah, now weddings are slightly different in those days and in Jewish times. Yeah, weddings were big events. Yeah, hundreds of people got invited to weddings. In fact, if you had a wedding in your village, the whole village was invited. Can you imagine if we had a wedding and we just sent out and said to the whole of Shepton, come and celebrate this wedding with us. So the whole village was invited. Often the wedding would go on for days and days and days. Completely different to what we're used to. We're used to lockdown weddings, aren't we? Lockdown weddings had six people coming to weddings, didn't they? At their worst, yeah? So we don't know what it's like to have a big wedding. So this big wedding at Cana on the shores of Lake Galilee. And Jesus' mum was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited. And then disaster happens, absolute catastrophe. And I think the catastrophe is actually made worse by the fact that apparently Cana is located by Lake Galilee and is a great wine-growing region. So you can imagine this village Cana surrounded by vineyards, and the wine runs out, yeah? So the wine runs out. There's no more wine. And this is the fascinating exchange between Jesus and his mum, which do you mean, I have to say, is just fascinating. Yeah? Woman, Jesus says to his mum, why do you involve me? Why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come. His mum then just completely ignores him. Yeah, and says, do whatever he tells you. And nearby were huge stone jars used for cleansing in ceremonies. And Jesus said to his servants, fill the jars with water. They filled them to the brim. And then he told them, draw some out, take it to the master of the banquet. Yeah, now we'll finish the story in just a minute. But I just find this just really, really interesting. So bear in mind that Jesus needs to honour his mum, but he also needs to communicate with her, doesn't he? Yeah? So, do you mean, I think the general gist of the story is that Jesus is responding to his mum, who's just asking him. Now, bear in mind that Jesus is basically saying, by my time has not yet come, I'm not yet ready to start my teaching. I'm not yet ready to start my miracles. I'm not yet ready to start the important things that will lead to me dying for you all on the cross. So he's basically saying, I'm just not ready for that. And his mum comes to him and says, Jesus, please sort this out. She would have known that he was the Son of God. She would have known that he was the Savior of the world. She would have known that he was able to sort this problem out. And Jesus says to her, I'm not ready. Basically, my time has not yet come. It's not ready for me to do this stuff. Yeah? And he uses the term woman, which is quite rude, actually. It's difficult to grasp, but he uses that term. It's a term of great love and affection, but it's also a term of slight annoyance. Yeah? But the important thing is he communicates with her, doesn't he? He communicates with her and then ends up doing what she asks anyway. And too often, can I just say, kids, parents are like, the problem is the other way around. Yeah? We don't do the communication. Yeah? We don't talk things through. We don't share our difficulties, our frustrations. We bottle it up. And as a result of that, we end up doing what Nemo did, which is going against it. Yeah, far better to communicate and then agree what we're doing. Does that make sense to kids and to grown-ups? Communication is really, really important. Yeah, telling people how you feel, being the real you, is really, really important. We live in a world that is all about what I would call dressing up. That's all about pretending to be what we're not really. It's all about pretending to be nice or pretending to be whatever. And then suddenly the cracks appear and everything goes. But if we communicate who we really are, yeah, then we're following Jesus' example. And so it's an amazing exchange. So his mother, as I said, just knows him well enough and basically says, do whatever he tells you. And Jesus goes along with her. So he's communicated how he's felt. He said, Mum, this is not the time. This is not the place. Yeah, I'm reminded of the Lord of the Rings film, actually, where Gandalf says to somebody or other, don't take me as a conjurer for cheap tricks. Yeah, Gandalf is about to save the world. He's about to sort out the ring going into Mount Doom. And yet people are asking him to perform party tricks. And it just seems a bit like that here, that his mother is asking him to perform party tricks. And also put yourself in Jesus' position. Yeah, his first great miracle. What is his first great miracle here? It's creating huge quantities of alcohol. Yeah? Now, if I was saviour of the world, I wouldn't want that to be my first miracle. Yeah, I'd be going for something a bit more dramatic. I'd be going for something a bit more exciting. I'd be raising the dead, or I'd be healing the sick, or I'd be, do you mean taking someone who's terminally ill and just completely releasing them? That I would not be creating a free bar at a wedding. Yeah? And so Jesus is completely caught on the hop, and yet he goes along with it, which also just shows the wonderful flexibility of God and his wanting to partner. Yeah? Did you know that as we communicate with God, as we pray, God can do things differently? Did you realise? Otherwise, what's the point? What's the point of praying if things don't change? Yeah? And so his mum asks him, and he responds. And so we go on. Yep. And we finish the story. They did so. The master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realise where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first and the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. Jesus created amazing wine. Jesus produced the goods. And there's something lovely about that, actually. There's actually something lovely about that as his first miracle. It speaks of the goodness of God. It speaks of the love of God. It speaks of the generosity of God. It speaks of the fact that as Christians, we look forward to a celebration with Jesus, when there will be laughing, when there will be celebration, when there will be good things happening. In a sense, it's actually really appropriate that that was Jesus's first miracle. Yeah, because Jesus brings life. Jesus brings life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus brings life. Jesus brings wholeness. Jesus brings joy. I was listening to just a tape the other day where the person was talking about joy, but apart from Jesus. And I thought, that doesn't happen. We don't get joy apart from Jesus. Jesus brings joy. What is joy? Joy is a sense of completeness inside, a sense of satisfaction in God, a sense of not having to worry about what's going on inside. Does that make sense? Joy. And so we're going to begin to wrap up. And I'm just going to leave us with a few things to think about. Yeah, firstly, kids, respect your parents. They're doing their best. Yeah, respect your folks. They're doing their best. They don't always get it 100% right. Sometimes they can be a bit overprotective, sometimes whatever. But still, respect them and communicate with them and talk to them and chat to them. Yeah, parents, don't wind your kids up. Yeah, now I'll leave you to decide how you may or may not be winding your kids up. I used to be quite bad, actually, I used to wind my girls up. I used to suddenly rush at them and tickle them when they didn't want to be tickled. That was my eldest daughter's worst nightmare. In fact, she shared that with me just the other day. You know, unwanted tickling was something that she did not like. Yeah? So any fathers who are there doing that, stop it right now. Invasion of personal space, I think she called it, when she realised what it was. Yeah? But you may have your own, how shall I put it, means that you're winding up your kids. So have a little think. Yeah? Because we have an amazing responsibility, but it's also a terrifying responsibility, and we need to do it in a God-fearing way. And finally, all of us, let's look to Jesus as our example and saviour. And I thought this was a clever little thing that I wrote. He created wine at a wedding to bring life to a party, and he shed blood on a cross to bring life to us. Yeah, I'll say that again. He created wine at a wedding to bring life to a party, and he shed blood on a cross to bring life to us. In fact, I think there's an interesting thing about the fact that it was huge cleansing jars where the water for cleaning got turned into wine, yeah, which spoke forwards to Jesus' death on the cross when the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. So I think there was just a nod in that to the cross. Yeah, now some theologians make a huge deal of it, but I don't think there is a huge deal. I think there's just that idea that Jesus is looking forward to the cross as he performed that miracle. He created wine at a wedding to bring life to a party, shed blood on a cross to bring life to us. And so I'm going to pray for that now, and then we're going to call it a day. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you so much for who you are. Lord Jesus, we just look at you and we look at your personality and we look at the fact that you tell truth to your mum, that you tell her that what she's asking for is just not appropriate at this time, that she can't pull strings with him, that she can't sort of decide what he does. But at the same time, out of love, completely changes his plans and does what she asks. Presumably he checks it out with you. This is the Jesus whom we follow. This is the Jesus who is our example. Lord, we thank you that it is you who we follow. We thank you that you are perfect in who you are. Lord, we thank you that you did die on a cross for us, Lord. We thank you that you did die to take away our sins. And Lord, in dying and in taking away our sins, Lord, you make way for a wonderful celebration, an eternal celebration where we will celebrate with one another and with you at what's called the marriage supper of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, Jesus. And Lord, we can look forward in these difficult times as Christians to celebration, not misery. And that's so important, that we look forward to celebration, that we look forward to you, Lord Jesus, being in charge, that we look forward to being with our brothers and sisters and celebrating. Help us to do that more and more, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.